certainly within the Christian context, we've two celebrations for children, one shortly after the other, at the age of 8, when children may receive the first Holy Communion, and again at the age of 12, when they make the confirmation. Both of these are spiritual events and sacraments, and unfortunately, it appears to me that they've been hijacked by the consumer society, so that the children are dressed in expensive clothes in some parts of the country. There's parties, bouncing castles, there's a huge expenditure, and very often that expenditure is at the risk of the budget for the family for the rest of the month, even the rest of the year, and people spend exorbitant amounts of money. Now, of course, people are free to do what they want, but again, we go back to the community element, and I think also the churches are responsible for allowing this grow like a mushroom, like a fungus. It should have been in the past that people stepped in decisively and said, no, this is a communion, this is a confirmation, this is a spiritual event, and in actual fact, what people should be doing is contributing maybe to people who are less well off. And in a school that I've been involved in over the last number of years, the children collect in the period prior to their confirmation, and they give a gift from monies that they anticipate to receive. And it's always very funny because, I meet the kids beforehand in one of their classes, and I say, okay, well, what's on the table? What do you think you're going to make? And some of them would say, well, you know, I've got a pretty shrewd idea that I'm going to get about 1,000 or 2,000. I mean, the money is astronomical. And I say, really? Yeah. And, you know, some of them are, they're very close to the mark. Then some people say, well, I think I'll probably only get about 100, 200 euro because I've no uncles and aunts and my grandparents are dead, or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to make that kind of money. And then we say, look, what we'd like to do is, and we'll have done it at the beginning of the year. And funny, this is a non-religious school, I should add. The children do their confirmation preparation outside school hours, away from the school, and stand with the catechist. And so they choose themselves at the beginning of the year what they're going to support. And I've often noticed the envelopes are all addressed to me, and I open the envelopes, and with the catechist, of course, can't do it on my own. But we open them together, and we'll always notice that the kids who may receive less or who would have less are the ones who are most likely to contribute generously to people in need.
But say, going back to the communions as well, I mean, you know, you're talking about how the church could have stepped in, and, you know, I think a lot of people will be astonished to think that people would be getting 1,000 and 2,000, and I know that's for confirmation, but I'm sure there's children getting that for communions too. How would the church have stepped in and said, okay guys, this is just getting a little out of hand?
You see, that's the problem, it's the catch-22, because if some brave, robust parish priest or sister steps in and says, you know, we're not going to allow this anymore, this blue murder, you're all over the Joe Duffy show, you're blasted in the papers, etc. But I remember a skit that Rosalind Lenihan did one time, I saw it on TV, which was very funny. She appears at a door, and an elderly man opens the door, and she says, hello, I've made my Holy Communion. And she's an adult, she's dressed in the communion veil and outfit and everything, and she's got her little missal and a pencil, and she said, make me Holy Communion. And the man says, oh, that's lovely, little girl, I'm delighted. And she says, yeah. There's a silence, and he doesn't know what to do, and then she says, I made me Holy Communion. And he says, oh, that's good, did you have a lovely day? And she said, yeah. There's another silence, and she says, I made me Holy Communion. And then he doesn't know what to say, and she says, how much did I put you down for? So she's the pencil, and she's writing in the back of the missal. And he says, and what are you doing? She says, I'm going around collecting the money. Now, I might have this wrong, but I mean, Rosalind might phone in and say if I'm right or wrong. I'm going around collecting the money. And he says, and where are you from? And she says, she's from the other side of the city. And he said, but this is November, when did you make your communion? And she said, May. He said, how did it take you to now to get around? She says, it's a long way, I've been stopping on all the houses. Now, I'm very unfair in saying that, but I mean, it is that type of thing. And the little kids, the kids are gorgeous, they're tabula rasas, you know, they'll do what you tell them. Kids are lovely. And they're open to everything. The world is all an adventure, and they trust adults so much, and they think that adults have all the answers, which they don't, of course. So that's why if you try and help them understand, and that's actually another important point, I think, you know, to build up a spirit of generosity when they're young. A pal of mine is a Mormon, and he was telling me that when he was 5, I think it was, he's American, his parents gave him a jam jar, and he wondered what he's supposed to do with the jam jar. Now, what he was supposed to do, was to put cents and dimes in the jam jar so that when he was a teenager, he could go to Europe. And remember, this guy came from Philadelphia. He could go to Europe and be a missionary for 2 years for the Mormon Church. I don't know that many of the Catholics or Anglicans that I know would be interested, or Presbyterians, Methodists would be interested in doing something like that, you know, saving. But this is what his family, and I presume a lot of other families, would do, because they take it very, very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, there is a sense that, you know, you will have people who are making their Holy Communion and they've maybe never even been regular churchgoers, but they're doing it for the event and the occasion and the ceremony.
Well, yes, I mean, that again brings us back to the whole difficulty. That's probably another topic, but it's a whole difficulty of helping young people prepare in a way. It's a very complex one, because I know for until recently we had the famous baptism barrier, whereby children who literally had the Catholic certificate of baptism had an edge going to their parish school, and somebody who didn't. And obviously that was a little unfair. And again, we're going off the topic, so I don't want to kind of wander into that area. But it is the responsibility, firstly, of the parents to, or the guardians, or the parent, to help the child prepare spiritually in its faith for these various steps and stages within its Christian faith. That's one issue. And then the second thing is the church, the parish, visible in the parish, also plays its part by providing the religious ceremonies, culminating, of course, in the communion ceremony in May. And then thirdly, the school plays its part by very often the teachers not only teaching religion during hours, and again, that's a contentious issue, and I'd wander off the point of us to go into that, but at least, and very often teachers give up their free time, both after school and then at the weekends, in order to help these children. So where that triangle works well, and where each part functions well, the home, the parish church, and the school, when that works well, it's like a motor and everything works fine. But if any part of that triangle is weak, for example, the school or the parish church or the home, well, it's going to limp and it's not going to go as well. So it's a huge responsibility, and I often think baptizing babies, meeting with the guardians or the parent or parents, and how do we help them? Very often the church approach is very haphazard. Some parishes will organize lovely courses, maybe over a month or 6 weeks, for couples who are, or individuals who are preparing for the arrival of a baby. But at the same time, some parishes just say, we'll turn up on Sunday and there'll be a priest there or a deacon and they'll do the baptism and that's it. And that really doesn't have much preparation. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, this whole concept of being a community. That if we all take our responsibility, we can do enormous things. And I've been in a number of parishes in Dublin over the years, and one of the enormous frustrations I've had to deal with is not being able to carry along people with the vision that I might have. That if we were all to do that, if we were all to play our tiny part, like paying a tax, small little part, then we could achieve something enormous. But if everything is left on the shoulders of one or two people, they will not have the energy or the gifts in order to carry that to fruition. And therefore, unfortunately, in the parish system, and indeed, I would say that very often the priests are responsible for this, because very often they're of an age, they're no longer able to summon the energy to approach this, but they're also not trained to let go and to say to people, look, this basically is your parish. We're only the servants. We're like the butlers. We come for the sacraments, but we shouldn't command. And unfortunately, it appears as if the priest is in charge and everything has to be done with the approval of the priest, and at all costs not to earn his disapproval. And that goes for curates and parish priests and administrators, moderators, what have you. And that can be very, very difficult. So I think the way forward to having a vibrant parish is when everybody plays their part and they say, right, well, I want to be involved in the, let's say, the St. Vincent de Paul. I want to be involved in the toddlers group. I want to be involved in the care for the old folk, the seniors, all of that. If everybody says, what am I gifted at? And I've been involved in a couple of parishes where we were able to do that. And it was fantastic. I mean, I'm only talking about the parish situation, but there are lots of other charities and other foundations that you could be involved in. My own favourite one is Alone, for example, founded by the fireman Willie Birmingham, I suppose about 40 odd years ago. So there's lots of things that people get involved in, either in a religious or a non-religious space.